Romans chapter 4. And we're going to read beginning at verse 1. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we ask that you would bless your word now to our hearts as we have read it and we'll study it together. We rely, Lord, upon the working and the ministry of your Spirit for the accomplishment of anything that has eternal and lasting value. Lord, we need you tonight more than we even realize that we do. Lord, please don't let us leave this place tonight untouched by you, undealt with by you. And Lord, we realize that in all likelihood there's someone sitting here tonight who doesn't know you. We ask in your great mercy that you would open blinded eyes, that you would shine your light in hearts, to give the enlightenment, to give the understanding of your glory in the face of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to handle your word carefully in a way that pleases you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We saw this morning that Paul asks a question, offers a possibility, gives a conclusion, and then directs us to the Word of God for his evidence, for the proof of the case that he makes here. The question is found in verse 1, what then shall we say was gained by Abraham our forefather according to the flesh? What did Abraham accomplish in the sight of God based purely on his works? Or we could say it this way, did Abraham achieve a right standing with God by his efforts, by his deeds, by his performance, by his obedience? What did he accomplish according to the flesh? Paul then offers this possibility. He says, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. If indeed we conclude, as most Jews believed at this time, that Abraham was chosen by God to be the father of the Jewish nation because of his faithfulness, because he was the most righteous man on the face of the earth at that time, if Abraham had a right standing with God based upon his works, then indeed Abraham had something to boast about. Paul has already taught in Romans 3:27 that if you rightly understand the gospel, all boasting is excluded. So if you think about Abraham and his relationship to God in such a way that Abraham is able to boast, you've misunderstood Abraham's life, his testimony. You've misunderstood the gospel. If Abraham was justified by works, he indeed could boast. But Paul, in a very terse way, states his conclusion. He says, but not before God. This is not a reality. This is not the way it was. Abraham was not able to boast in the presence of God. Abraham was not justified by his works. Indeed, no man will be justified by the deeds of the law, by the keeping of God's law. That's what he stated earlier in Romans, the first three chapters. Remember, Abraham and David are chosen by Paul to be a test case, to be a demonstration of the fact that the gospel has always been the gospel, that God has always saved men by grace through faith in the Messiah. Old Testament saints as well as New Testament saints. So he says, here's my proof. Verse 3. What does the Scripture say? Not what do the Scriptures say. He could have said that. Indeed, in the first three chapters, he's given us other Old Testament quotations. But now he's using a real life example. Let's look at a man's life. Someone whom we know the Lord saved. And let's find out whether his testimony is a contrast to the gospel I preach or whether it confirms the gospel I preach. What does the Scripture say? And he's talking specifically about Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham was declared to be right with God, not because of his works, but the Scripture says, because he believed. And Paul quotes this because, as they should acknowledge, he knew this to settle the argument. Where do we go when we have a question? We go to the Word of God. And what does the Scripture say about Abraham? He believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And that's where I want us to begin tonight. I want us to begin where we left off this morning with the proof that Paul offers. The Word of God stating how Abraham was made right with God. I want us to think about the justification of Abraham. I know you know, but let me just remind you. When we talk about justification, we're talking about a declaration. God declaring a man to be right in His sight. God declaring someone to be righteous. On what basis was Abraham declared to be righteous before God? How was Abraham justified? And in this verse that he quotes, there are a couple of things that we learn. One, we learn what kind of righteousness Abraham had before God. And second, we learn how he received it. What kind of righteousness was this, and how did he receive it? So let's begin with the kind of righteousness that he had before God. It says in this verse, quoting Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him, legizomai, counted to him as righteousness. The New American Standard reads, and it was credited to him. What kind of righteousness was this? This was not a righteousness earned. It was a righteousness given. It was a righteousness credited. It was a righteousness accounted to him. This righteousness was a gift. That's what the verse teaches. That's what he's stressing here. That this was a righteousness counted to him. I told you the word is legizomai. It was an old accounting word. A.T. Robertson, commenting on this Greek word, writes, it's first aorist passive indicative of legizomai, old and common verb to set down accounts, literally or metaphorically. It was set down on the credit side of the ledger for righteousness. In other words, God is the one who put righteousness to His ledger, which is to say, it wasn't already there. Abraham's ledger, apart from God's gracious reckoning, was a ledger devoid of righteousness. He didn't have any. Abraham's righteousness before God was not a righteousness that was accruing while he lived his life. It was not a righteousness that accrued from his works. It was a righteousness that God put to his account, gave to him in an instant. It was righteousness that came to him as a gift. Abraham believed God, and it was legizomai. It was accounted to him. It was credited to him as righteousness. Now, this is what he's already taught back in chapter 3. Again, I want to keep stressing, Abraham is just a demonstration of the doctrine he's already taught. Romans 3, look at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested, notice, apart from the law. There's a righteousness that you can have from God and with God, before God, that is apart from the law. although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, declared righteous, by His grace. What does He say? As a gift. Through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. This is a righteousness that comes to a man or a woman as a gift. Don't work for it. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. God gives it. This is the kind of righteousness that Abraham had. Righteousness that came as a gift from God. What else can be said about this righteousness? What do we know about this righteousness? Well, it's the only righteousness that God will accept. In verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Everybody has fallen short of the divine standard. If the righteousness that you want to offer to God, before God, is your own, then realize it doesn't meet the standard. For all have sinned and fallen short of the standard. So if the only righteousness you have is yours, we already know what the verdict is. You've fallen short of the glory of God. The righteousness that comes from God as a gift is the only righteousness He will accept. We're also told that it's the righteousness that comes to someone through redemption, through the redemption accomplished by Jesus. Verse 24 says, "And are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus." It's free to us, but it wasn't free. It's free to us, but it was paid for by the death of the Son of God. That's how we were made right with God. Through His death, through His payment, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, "Whom God put forward as a propitiation, as a satisfaction for our sins, by His blood, by His death, to be received by faith." This righteousness that every man needs is righteousness that must be given to you. You don't earn it. And it's righteousness that was paid for, came to us by way of a payment. The death of the Son of God. The life, the death, and the resurrection of the Son of God. Indeed, the righteousness you're given is His own righteousness. Something else we know about this righteousness, we read it a moment ago. It's a righteousness explained entirely by the grace of God. If you have this righteousness tonight, if you've been given it as a gift, how do you explain the fact that you have it? It's entirely explained by the grace of God. Verse 24, "And are justified by His grace as a gift." By His grace. No one here deserved it. No one here has 1 ounce of room for boasting. You're saved. If you're saved tonight, it's because you were chosen by God for salvation. And He did not choose you because you were any different, naturally speaking, from any other man. His choice of you is explained by His sovereign love and mercy. He didn't see anything in you that made you different. He didn't foresee anything in you that made you different. Indeed, the only thing that distinguishes you from lost humanity right now is His work. And had He not done that work in your life, you'd be no different from any lost man walking the planet tonight. And so if you have this righteousness on your account before God, it is explained by His grace, by His free and sovereign mercy to you. Something else you can say about this righteousness, the Scriptures say, even though it was by His grace, you received this righteousness in a way that does not violate His justice. Verse 26, talking about the death of Christ, how it demonstrated God's righteousness. Verse 25, let's back up there. "Whom God put forward," God put Christ forward, "as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith." This was to demonstrate God's righteousness. That is, that God is completely a God of justice, that He will not sweep sin under a rug, that even where there's forgiveness and reconciliation, the sin had to be paid for. God demonstrated His righteousness because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over former sins. The Lamb of God, you talk about the Old Testament saints, They were allowed into the presence of God, forgiven on the basis of faith in the coming Messiah, made right with God on the basis of faith in the coming Messiah. Those who died entered the presence of God forever and ever, and yet there was not yet a sufficient payment for their sins. The only offerings that had been offered was the blood of bulls and goats. And someone could have asked, how is that justice? The man sins, an animal dies for his sins, and God receives that as payment? No, all those Old Testament sacrifices were symbolic. They were pictures of the sacrifice that would pay for all their sins. And so when God put Christ forward, it was to demonstrate His righteousness in passing over former sins. The payment was coming. He forgave them in view of the death of His Son. And notice verse 26, it was to show His righteousness at the present time. God is still righteous when He forgives sins. He's still just when He forgives people and brings them into His family. There's been a payment for their sins as well in the death of His Son. Verse 26, it was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. What God does for us in Christ is completely consistent with justice. No violation of the justice of God. And what Paul is showing is that Abraham's case is in complete agreement with all of this. What God did for Abraham agrees with everything He's already declared about the gospel. The righteousness that he had before God was a righteousness that's given freely as a gift by the grace of God. Now, let me ask you a question before we move on. Have you ever come to realize, and I know every believer in this place has, so really what I'm asking you is, are you saved? Has there been a time in your life when you ever realized this was your greatest need? That your greatest need was to have a right standing with God. That your greatest need was to be able to stand before God one day and know that you are fully accepted by Him. That indeed that's your greatest need tonight. To have the assurance that you're right with God. So what kind of righteousness was it that Abraham had before God? Not a righteousness that he earned, but a righteousness that was given. In fact, have we come to realize that if we don't have that righteousness, we stand naked before the Lord? Romans 3:10, as it's written, none is righteous, no, not one. John 3:18, whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe, what does the Bible say? Is condemned already. What's the verdict? If you have not trusted in Jesus, if you don't have His righteousness put to your account, what's the verdict concerning you? Do you have to wait for it? Or has it already been given? You're condemned. Because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So, what kind of righteousness was it? It was that kind of righteousness. The righteousness given as a gift. How did he receive it? How did he receive it? Look again at our verse. Verse 3, for what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. How did he receive this righteousness from God? He believed God. I want you to keep your Bible marker here and go over to Genesis chapter 15. Let's look at this verse in its original context. Genesis chapter 15. And look at verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Now, if that's all we had, we might not be so clear about what Abram believed. But that's not all we have. We have the New Testament, Revelation as well. And the New Testament makes clear to us that the belief that Abram had was a belief in the Son of God. It was a belief in the Messiah. The promise that he was given about descendants and about the whole world being blessed through his offspring was instruction in the gospel. Jesus said in John 8:56, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. That settles the question, doesn't it? Did Abraham have some understanding of the Messiah? Of times, messianic times? Yes. Jesus said, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He understood what the Lord meant when he said, through your offspring, the world will be blessed. He had some understanding of that. In fact, notice what Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3. Go over there if you would. Galatians chapter 3. And look at verse 5. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it's those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, notice, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So when the Lord said to Abraham, in you all the nations will be blessed, what was being preached to him? The gospel was. And that's why Jesus was able to say, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. How did Abraham receive this righteousness? What did he believe when it was counted to him as righteousness? He believed the Lord's promise concerning his offspring. He believed the Lord's promise concerning the one through whom the whole world would be blessed. He believed God concerning his son. So that we can say this, he received this righteousness because he believed. He was given this righteousness on the basis of faith. Faith was the channel through which the Lord gave him this right standing. And again, if you look back in Romans 4, this is just a demonstration of what Paul has already written. Romans 3, look at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through, what does it say? Faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. How do you have this righteousness that comes from God? Through faith in Jesus. Look at verse 24. And are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by, what? Faith. And then you go on to verse 26, it was to show His righteousness at the present time so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. By faith, by faith, by faith. Paul continues to say, how is someone made right with God? Is it how they live? No, it's whether or not they believe. Do they believe God concerning His Son? Do they believe God concerning Jesus? And if they trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are made right with God. At that moment, on that basis. So Paul's asking the question, is Abraham's case contrary to the gospel I preach, or does it confirm the gospel I preach? Obviously, what does the Scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Let me ask you, my friend, how will you ever stand before God and be accepted by Him? How can you know today that you're assured of acceptance with God? If you rely on your works, you'll be condemned. But if you look to Christ and trust in Him, if you'll put all the weight of your trust in Jesus, the Bible says you'll be given this gift of righteousness, this right standing with God. Now, just in case we're tempted to think of faith as a work, Paul goes on to give an illustration. Verse 3, for what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Verse 4, now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. Just a little short illustration, but it's a powerful one. He asked the question, what is the nature of that which a man receives for his work? What's the nature of wages? A man's regular wages. He works his job, you pay him a wage. Does that constitute a gift? What's the simple answer? No, of course not. That's something he's earned, right? Well, the very fact that Abraham's righteousness is spoken of as having been given to him, the very fact that it's spoken of as having been credited to him, proves that his works didn't figure into it. If Abraham earned it, then his righteousness was not a gift from God. If his righteousness was credited to him, then he didn't earn it. He didn't work for it. He simply believed God, and God gave it to him. That's exactly what the Scriptures say. But you know what? He doesn't stop there. He says this isn't just the case with Abraham. Verse 5. And to the one, now he's gone beyond Abraham, to anybody who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. You see his point? Verse 4, the illustration he uses, look, if Abraham worked for it, it wouldn't be spoken of as a gift. It was a gift because it's on the basis of faith. Now I want to expand beyond Abraham. And I want to say this. Anyone who does not work, but trusts in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith, anybody's faith who believes like that, is counted as righteousness. This is true of everybody. And you know something he's just done? He's just made plain that there's only one kind of person God justifies. There's only one kind of person that God declares to be right in His sight. What kind of person does God justify? Look at verse 5. And to the one who does not work, but trusts Him who justifies, what kind of person? Ungodly people. Which is to say, Abraham was what kind of person? He was ungodly. Whoa! This man that the Judaism of Paul's day had tried to make out to be perfect, tried to say he was chosen because of his faithfulness, tried to say he was chosen because of his righteousness, Paul has just called him ungodly. But listen, get this, there's only one kind of person who looks to God for that kind of righteousness. The person who knows himself to be ungodly. So not only has he said that Abraham was ungodly, by saying that Abraham trusted him who justifies the ungodly is to say that Abraham realized himself to be ungodly. He knew himself to be a sinner. He knew himself to be in need of forgiveness. This is the kind of person who trusts God like this. This is the kind of person who would look to God's Son. This is the kind of person who would trust in the Messiah. This is the kind of person who would not rely on their works. When he says they don't work, he's saying they're not trying to work their way into the favor of God. They're finished with that. They're done with that. What kind of person is done trying to work their way into the favor of God? The person who knows it's futile. The person who knows their works don't measure up. The person who knows they're ungodly, that they need forgiveness, that they need a gift of righteousness. This is the person who looks to Him like that. Abraham was justified. What does that tell you about his state of mind when he believed the Lord? He knew himself to be a sinner. Our Lord said this, Matthew 9:13, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. I want to tell you something, my friend. If you're righteous, you're not a candidate for salvation. Jesus didn't come to call you. Anybody here want to know for sure that Jesus came to call you? Then you have to know yourself to be a sinner. Because He didn't come to call the righteous. Mark 2:17, and when Jesus heard it, He said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. These are the men and women who will heed the call of Jesus. These are the men and women who will heed the call of the gospel. Those who've been made to know by the work of the Holy Spirit that they are sinful and in need of forgiveness. And if anybody ever thought any differently about Abraham anyway, they were not honest with the evidence, were they? Was Abraham a perfect man? I mean, just what you know about his life. Was he close to being perfect? Where was he when God called him? He was in Ur of the Chaldeans. You study about that city, it was a thoroughly pagan city. Probably had as many as 300,000 inhabitants. It was given over completely to idolatry. The Chaldeans were polytheistic. They believed in many gods. And the Bible tells us that Abram's father, Terah, was an idolater. And so Abram was raised in a family where he worshipped many gods. Joshua 24:1 says this, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac. Abraham wasn't looking for God, dear people. God chose Abraham. And Abraham was not a godly man when God chose him. He was ungodly. A worshiper of many gods. And Abraham was saved by faith. And that faith, just like your faith, if you're a believer, that faith was a gift from God. And it was real faith. It was the product of the work of God in his heart. But even then, it was growing faith. It wasn't perfect faith. He was a man of great faith, but he wasn't a man of perfect faith. He disobeyed God when he left Ur. He took his father with him, took Lot with him. That's not what the Lord told him to do. And then when he faced a famine in Canaan, he didn't seek God's face. He went to Egypt. And there, you'll remember, Pharaoh was interested in his wife. And because Abram was afraid, what did he claim about Sarah? That she was his sister. Last time I checked, that's a lie. That's a sin. Genesis chapter 12 talks about that. And then when it looked like Sarah was not going to be able to bear him a son, Sarah had this great idea, which she came to despise later, that he go into Hagar and he committed adultery and brought a son to the world named Ishmael. And to this day, there's trouble between Israel and the descendants of Ishmael. What is that? That's sin. This idea that Abram was a perfect man, that God chose him because of his perfection. It was a myth. It was the twisting of Scripture to prop up false doctrine. Now, he was a sinful man, saved by grace. And God showed him his sinfulness, and God wrought faith in his heart. So that when this man looked to the Lord in faith, he understood God, to some degree, he understood that God justifies the ungodly. And he believed the Lord. But despite all his imperfections, he did have amazing faith, didn't he? Left his home, trusted God's word, offered his only son Isaac. Convinced. Talk about Old Testament faith. Convinced that if God had to do it, he would raise that boy from the dead. Isn't that amazing? Hebrews 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered, this is what went through Abram's mind, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. This man didn't have perfect faith, but he had real faith given to him by God. And as a result, it was amazing faith. And he trusted the Lord. What kind of righteousness was this? The kind that's given to you. The kind that's accounted to you. The kind that's credited to you. And how did he receive it? He believed God concerning the Messiah. But Paul didn't stop with Abraham, did he? He goes on to say, let's begin in verse 5, and to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Do we understand what the Lord has done when He justified us? Before He gave us the perfect righteousness of Jesus as a gift, He forgave all our sins. Wiped our ledger clean. And never counts our sin against us. Verse 8, blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. How could that be just, that God doesn't keep account of my sin, but has put to my account instead His own perfect righteousness? How can that be just? Because when Jesus was hanging on that tree, my sins had already been accounted to Him. God accounted my sins and the sins of all those who will be saved to His own Son, imputed them to Jesus for the purpose of Him serving as a sin sacrifice. Jesus did not become sinful. He was as pure and holy on that tree as He was in His life. But as the spotless Lamb of God, He did serve as the perfect sin sacrifice, and imputed to His account for the purpose of suffering was all the sins of all those who were chosen before time for salvation. And there on that tree He suffered in full for all our sins, so that now justly my sins have been forgiven. And on my account there are no sins. How blessed is the man who understands that. What kind of joy is there in the heart of someone who knows they've been forgiven? And what a perfect example of the fact that it's not based upon the fact that we've lived such good lives, is it? Because who did He choose as His example? David. Here's a man who sinned greatly. Here's a man who sinned grievously. Here's a man who for so long had lived as a godly testimony and then absolutely blew it. And yet David knew forgiveness, didn't he? He knew the joy of knowing my sins have been forgiven. The Lord doesn't count it against me. But instead He is, because He makes the point in verse 6, the same is true of David. This is the blessing of one to whom God counts righteousness. God only forgave David, God gave David righteousness. Because he believed. In other words, no one would ever make the case that David was perfect. But he knew justification just as surely as Abraham did. Here were the Jews trying to pretend that Abraham was perfect. Nobody would have pretended that David was perfect. But David knew the same kind of justification that Abraham knew. Because indeed this is the only way anyone can ever be made right with God. I ask you tonight, are you right with God? Do you have a right standing with God? Do you have assurance tonight that you have righteousness that is foreign to you? It's not found in you. It's not explained by you. What hasn't been earned by you? Do you have assurance that you have righteousness on your spiritual account given to you by God because you have trusted truly from your heart in His Son as the answer for your sins and for a right standing with God? Has there ever been a time in your life when the Holy Spirit of God brought the gospel home to your heart in such a way that it produced a crisis? That you saw yourself as ungodly. You saw yourself as a sinner. You understood there was no hope to be found in your effort. You were through with working. And you understood your only hope was trusting. And so you threw away every dream of your own righteousness. And you rested your whole case on Jesus. He is my only way to be right with God. And you were saved. And isn't it wonderful that salvation is not just legal, is it? It's not just the wiping out of sins and the imputing of righteousness. But when a man believes, it's because God has done something in his soul so that at the same time you've been made a new creation. And God has done something in you that's experiential and internal. And you've been made a new person. So that though your faith isn't perfect, it's real. And you follow the Lord. And you love Him. Though you can't see Him, you love Him. And though you don't see Him now, you rejoice in Him with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That's a believer. Is that you? I exhort you with my whole heart that if you can't say yes based upon your past, you would say yes based upon this moment. That at this moment in time, right now, you would say, I throw away all my confidence in my works and I trust in God's Son. I believe God's testimony concerning His Son. I put my trust in Jesus. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, You're the one who brings conviction and contrition. You're the one, Lord, who grants repentance and faith. You're the one, Lord, who brought us to the place where we were willing and desiring to turn from our sins and to turn from all of our false belief and self-righteousness, to cast ourselves entirely upon Your mercy. No way to clean ourselves up, no way to make ourselves better, no way to make ourselves more acceptable to You. Just simple trust in Your Son. Lord, You led us to that point where we placed all of our hope in Him. And Lord, I do pray for anyone in this place who before this night has not been converted, that, dear God, even now in this moment, in this instant, Lord, they would turn and believe You. Look to Jesus and trust in Him and Him alone for salvation. God, grant a heart understanding that it's not working. It's trusting. We ask You this in Jesus' name. Amen.